Ramanujacharya sat at their feet and heard from them. He worshipped them. He learned from them. Although he was the crest jewel of all sannyasis, and he's sitting at the feet, worshipping, honoring, and accepting as spiritual masters, householders. And men, several of the gurus of Ramanujacharya, they were so pleased with him as a disciple that they gave their children to him to take initiation. Yes? Several of them did like this. After Ramanujacharya learned from them so nicely, they were so pleased that they gave their son, "You initiate my son, and he will be your disciple." What a loving experience of Vaishnav society it was. It was all based on quality. On the path of bhakti, because we understand yukta vairagya, that everything could be used in Krishna's service. And grihe tako, vane tako, sadahari bole tako. Whether one's a grihastha or whether one is a brahmachari or sannyasi or vanaprastha, what matters is that whatever position we're in, we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We're using everything for Krishna. We see in the lives of Lord Chaitanya's associates and in the lives of Ramanujacharya's associates that the grihasthas, the husband, the wife, they were completely dedicated together in serving Guru and Krishna. Therefore, their house was Vaikuntha. And they were fit to be spiritual masters and deliver the highest essence to others. Lord Chaitanya told Kurma Brahman, "Be guru. Don't leave home. Stay home with your wife and be guru." Yare deka thare kaha Krishna upadesha maragoi guru hoy thare desh. Make the whole land Krishna conscious. How? By teaching this message in parampara and chanting the holy name. You sound very tired. Would you like me to end class now? Not a very convincing response. We'll give you one more chance. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Hare.
Thank you for waking me up. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Kurma Brahman back home and carried on. There was another Brahman of the name Basudev who had been suffering a severe advanced case of leprosy. His whole body was rotten due to the disease. And living worms filled his body, eating him away. Basudev, he was such a compassionate and gentle soul that if a worm fell from his body, he would very respectfully lift up the worm and place it as close as possible to the place where it fell from. Amanina manadena, to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. We may not imitate, but we can appreciate. If you cannot imitate a great soul, you make great spiritual advancement by appreciating them. Appreciation is an expression of the heart. Appreciation is a form of love and devotion. If we see a devotee doing something wonderful and appreciate them, we make great spiritual advancement simply doing that. If we are envious, our heart becomes deeply contaminated. There is nothing that is more unbecoming of a devotee than being envious of others. It is the worst quality of a Vaishnava. It is the quality that a Vaishnava very much fears, is envy toward others. But the root cause of envy is pride. When we are proud, we become envious of others. If we're humble, we cannot be envious. A humble heart can appreciate. A proud heart is envious. So yes, this offering respect to others to such an extreme, it's beyond us. Do you agree?
No.
We get sick, we take medicine. We try to kill those living entities that are causing us problems. Yes? Either Ayurvedic ways, which is kind of like a very mild execution of bacterial parasites and so forth. Or we take allopathic medicine, which is like nuclear bombs. But either way, we're killing. Yes? And to keep good health, we require to do that. But Vasudev, he was on such a high platform, he didn't care about his health. He was more concerned with the health of the worms that were killing him than he was about his own health. Yes? That this body, I'm not this body, I'm the spirit soul, and I'm living in this body, but these worms, they're also spirit souls, better than me. And they're living in this body. What right do I have to deprive them of their place in my body? That was his spirit. So when the worms would fall, with great respect, he would put it back. When he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the house of the Kurma Brahman, he was longing to see him. You see, because Vasudev was so compassionate to others, because he had such a pure, non-envious heart, just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya, he could immediately understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna revealed it to him. Ultimately, there's only one way to understand who God is, by God's mercy. Gopinathacharya presented this argument to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Gopinathacharya that this young sannyasi, he has taken initiation in an inferior line of sannyasis. He's Bharati. But I have the authority to elevate him to the Saraswat sannyas line. And by my teaching him Vedanta Sutra, he will be protected. Gopinathacharya could not tolerate hearing his brother-in-law speaking in this way. He said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to be elevated by you. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, why are you speaking like this? According to Shastra, where is the evidence that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And Gopinathacharya began to cite evidence. But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's disciples, and he had many, but some of his learned disciples, they were having a debate with Gopinathacharya on the basis of Shastra. And Gopinathacharya's conclusion was simply that with all the scripture in the world, unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, one cannot understand who he is. And the mercy of the Lord comes through his pure devotees very often. That is why we often repeat Prabhupada's words when he was asked, what was our qualification for understanding Krishna? Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. He said, I made your qualifications. Now that is not a proud remark. That's just the truth. Prabhupada considered himself the puppet of his Guru Maharaj, and he was repeating the message. And it is by the mercy of a Vaishnava that we can get the mercy of Krishna and understand who he is. Krishna manifests his mercy through his devotees in this world. And that's how we know who he is. Even here in India, which is the land of Krishna, how many of you really knew who Krishna was before you came in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his devotees? You're seeing Krishna on television? You're seeing Krishna in the cinemas? You're seeing pictures of Krishna everywhere? You're buying your pan at the Krishna Panwala? Krishna's everywhere. But how many people know who Krishna is? He's just one of the gods who plays with gopis. Srila Prabhupada, through his books and through his devotees, are illuminating so many people of India who actually Krishna is. What is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is the goal of life? This is the great Ramanujacharya. When he was here in Srirangam, the vast majority of people of India, they were so mixed up about religion and spirituality, they really didn't know what was what. Either they were pseudo-Buddhists, or they considered that I am God and you are God and everything is God and God is one. Or they were just immersed in materialistic life. But everyone heard about Krishna. Nobody knew. So yes, Gopinathacharya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the only way to understand Krishna is when Krishna bestows his mercy upon you. It is said by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. Sarvabhaumava. And then Gopinathacharya said, but because your heart is so dry and so hard, like an old rice cake, you cannot understand Krishna even when he's living in your house with you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, please, my brother, we're just having a friendly discussion. Don't get so angry like this. He said, only when Lord Chaitanya bestows his mercy upon you will you know who he is. And that happened. When Lord Chaitanya bestowed his mercy on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but he did it in such a way that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was receptive to receive his mercy. That's preaching. Because the Lord does not interfere with a person's free will. In South India, it was very easy to deliver so many simple, common people. Because they just accepted the holy name and accepted Krishna and Prema Bhakti instantly. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was a stubborn person. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to sit for many days and listen to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speak all Mayavad philosophy. And he had to treat Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with so much respect and love, like a father, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his heart became so soft toward Lord Chaitanya. He loved him like a son. And because Lord Chaitanya sat and listened to him for so long, it was his rightful duty to listen to Lord Chaitanya. And then Mahaprabhu spoke and transformed his heart. So Vasudev, because of his humility, his respect for others, and his deep faith, he could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was at the house of Kurma Brahman. And he wanted to meet him. He wanted to surrender his life to him. He did not want to be cured from leprosy. He just wanted to surrender to the Lord. That was his only desire in life. Yes, it wasn't like these evangelistic situations where all sick people are coming, cure my disease. Vasudev didn't want his disease cured. He was actually feeling grateful that he was performing philanthropic work for so many other living entities. And because he was a devotee and he was chanting, they were, all the worms in his body were getting purified too. Doing seva. So he went to Kurma Brahman's house, and when he arrived, it was the only goal of his life. He was dying. He was quickly dying of a miserable, horrible disease. He just wanted to see the Lord before he died. He had such eagerness. He had such anticipation. But when he arrived, Lord Chaitanya was gone. Can you imagine what a disappointment that was? It was so disappointing to Vasudeva that he fell unconscious. He lost the chance of his life. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows everyone's heart. He understood. And he came back. The Lord actually came back. There's several references in Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour where he comes back to the same place just to give very special mercy to someone. So he walked all the way back to the Kurma Brahman's house, and there Vasudev saw him coming. And Vasudev fell flat on the ground to offer his obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him up and embraced him. And when he embraced him, all the leprosy disappeared. And it is my firm opinion that every one of those worms went back to the back to Godhead. Because the Lord shows special mercy to those who devotees love. And Vasudev loved all his little worms. They were like his little worms that he nourished with his own flesh, his own blood, his own organs. So Mahaprabhu embraced him. The worms went to Vaikuntha. And Vasudev had a beautiful, youthful, illustrious body with a spiritual glow. Vasudev was overwhelmed with gratitude. He said, "Who am I? Just a very sinful, lowly friend of a Brahmin. And who are you? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all cause of, the origin of everything. And yet you have embraced me with your arms." Vasudev said that, "I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead because no one else can be so merciful. That my body is so abominable. It is so disgusting. What to speak of respectable people? Even the lowest people will not come near me because my body smells so putrefied and horrible." Can you imagine living like that? Where your body 24 hours a day was just emitting such a putrid, rotten stench that even the animals didn't want to come near you. What to speak of a human? And you had to live with yourself. The only association Vasudev had was the worms. It's a fact. Nobody else except those worms wanted anything to do with him. And they were just exploiting him. They were just eating him. Said, "My body is so abominable, so diseased, smells so bad that even the lowest person won't come near me. But you have embraced me with your arms. You are the Supreme Lord. No one else can be so merciful." But then a fear awoke within his heart. A fear that because he received such mercy from the Lord, he may become proud. Now he's Vasudev. Lord Chaitanya would be known as Vasudev Amrita Prada. One of the prominent names of Lord Chaitanya, which means he had given nectar to Vasudev. "How I have received such mercy." He feared pride entering into his heart. And this is a very serious spiritual point that must be understood by all aspiring devotees. That whatever devotional service we have is spoiled by false pride. Even if you do something wonderful, if it causes pride in your heart, that pride just contaminates the spiritual quality of whatever you've done. It's the greatest enemy for a devotee. It's the cause of aparad and the cause of fall down. Ramanujacharya taught that you must crush all false pride from your heart. It must be crushed. And how is that done? By serving Vaishnavas. Not only is Das Das Anu Das, servant of the servant, the goal of our life, because it pleases Krishna most, but it's also the means by which to attain the goal of life. By serving devotees, Krishna's pleased, and he helps us to crush that pride. Vasudev would rather be smelling obnoxious, suffering a horrible disease and dying. He'd rather be in that state, in a humble state of mind, than to be perfectly healthy and become proud. That was the standard of his devotion. And every devotee should have that fear of false pride. And when the ugly head of pride comes up in our life, we shouldn't serve it obediently. We should fight it. False pride is like Hiranyakashipu living within us. Arrogance. And Maya is so strong that she uses pride as a weapon that is the greatest killer of Vaishnavas, killer of their spiritual lives. So Vasudev is teaching us. He didn't care about a beautiful body. He wanted to be a humble servant. And he feared getting too much mercy can make me proud. If you get special mercy, you can think yourself superior to someone else. That's very difficult. We see even within our own movement, some devotees who got very special personal mercy from Prabhupada were humbled by that. But others may have become proud. I had so much association with Prabhupada. Prabhupada approved of what I said. You should all listen to me. You should honor me. You should respect me. You should know me for who I am. Prabhupada did this for me. Prabhupada said this to me. He wrote this letter for me. They want to be respected for that. They consider themselves in a superior position because of that. And there's other devotees who Prabhupada never said a single word to. He may have only glanced at once or twice. But those devotees are totally empowered by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And others who Prabhupada invested so much energy in, if they accepted that with a humble heart, then they will also be divinely empowered. But it is a fact that sometimes even getting empowered by the Lord or empowered by the spiritual master can make us proud. And it undoes everything. So Vasudev is our acharya in this way. He was not happy about being cured. He was worried about being proud. But Lord Chaitanya knew his heart. And he said, always chant Krishna's names. And give this message of Bhagavad Gita to others. Servant of the servant. And you, there is no fear of pride. There is no reason to fear pride coming into your heart. If we do the will of Krishna, Krishna will protect us. So this is the process of overcoming pride. Chanting the holy names, serving the Vaishnavas, and being an instrument of compassion to the world. This is Lord Chaitanya's message. Then Lord Chaitanya left, and the Kurma Brahman and Vasudev, they were just embracing one another in ecstasy, weeping tears of joy that they had received such mercy. Intoxicated as they chanted very loudly. Should I continue? Sound very sleepy. The next place Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped was, that is recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vishakhapatnam, where he climbed the hill called Singhachalam and there had darshan of Jyada Narasingha Dev. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in front of this very, very ancient, famous deity of Lord Narasingha, he danced in ecstasy. This particular deity is from the Satya Yuga. It is described that when Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill Prahlad, he threw him into the ocean. And then even tried to put a mountain on top of him. Prahlad was fearless. Prahlad was not concerned with life or death. Prahlad was only concerned with remembering Krishna. And in remembering Krishna, there is no more death. The Lord appeared in a unique form of Varaha Narasingha, with the face of Varaha Dev and the claws and the tails of Narasingha Dev. Varaha Narasingha, a very ferocious form. And he saved Prahlad, and he was very angry at Hiranyakashipu. So years later, Prahlad Maharaj, after Hiranyakashipu was dismissed from his position, Prahlad went back to that spot because it was a very sacred place where he had such a wonderful darshan. And there this deity of Varaha Narasingha manifested to him. And Prahlad Maharaj personally worshipped the deity there. It's been worshipped ever since. But it is said that the deity is so angry at the offenses to his devotees, Prahlad, that his anger causes heat in his body. Thus the pujaris cover his body with sandalwood paste, chandan, and camphor to make him cool. And there are stories in the temple of how if a pujari didn't put chandan on Varaha Narasingha's body in a day, about severe reactions that took place to both him and his entire family. So they're very strict. And every day they put large amounts of chandan on his body. And they don't take it off. They just keep putting more and more and more on. So when you go to see Lord Narasingadev, he looks like a gigantic Shivalingam, a Gopichandan, and way deep down inside of that is the deity. Yes, it's like a mountain of chandan, sometimes this high. The deity is like this. It's this, and they put big tilak, Ramanujam Sri Vaishnava tilak on, and they put garlands over the chandan, and they put so many ornaments on the chandan. And only once a year do they take the chandan off. One day a year on a particular Ekadasi do they give darshan of the deity directly. And lakhs, hundreds and thousands of people come for that day. Would you like to go on that day on yatra? But if you want to go on that day for a yatra, it's one of the hottest days of the year, and there's hundreds and thousands of people standing in line. So you should get very much trained up to be happy standing in line in Tirupati and Srirangam to prepare yourself for that line. Because they have the same system there. So it's a very glorious temple. Considered one of the most powerful deities of Narasingadeva in all of the world. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there dancing in ecstasy before Varaha Narasingha. And he was singing beautiful prayers. That is where we get this prayer from. We can sing it together. Shri Narasingha, Jai Narasingha, Jaya Jai Narasingha, Praladesha Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bhringa,
Mahavishnu Jayantam Sarvato Mukham.
That part isn't there. The first part, yes? That wonderful prayer is directly chanted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he's praying with ecstatic tears in his eyes that Lord Narasingadev is like a mother lion. She's very gentle and loving and protective to her little cub children, Prahlad. But if anyone tries to hurt her little cub child, she is ferocious like death personified. Hare Krishna. So thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted and transformed the whole Singhachalam into devotees, pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in so much ecstasy, tasting the sweetness of the holy name, that he did not even consider what direction he was going, or whether it was even day or night. Simply immersed in kirtan ras. And then he came to the banks of the Godavari River. When he saw the river, he remembered Jamuna. Seeing the forest besides the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in ecstatic love, bathed in Godavari. Then he crossed over the river to the other side, a place called Kovur. And there he sat down patiently. Within a matter of minutes, a procession came. There were Brahmins chanting and musicians playing instruments in a decorated palanquin. And on the palanquin was the governor of the vicinity. his name, Ramananda Rai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately recognized and understood who he was. And in his heart, he was running to embrace him. But with great efforts, he remained sitting in a secluded place in the forest. Meanwhile, Sri Ramananda Rai got off his palanquin, and as the Brahmins were chanting the appropriate mantras and performing their mudras and pudras, Ramananda Rai took his bath. And when he came out of his bath, he happened to see an effulgent sannyasi sitting. Sri Ramananda Rai very reverentially approached the sannyasi and laid on the ground in his full obeisances. And Lord Chaitanya, and then he got up. And Lord Chaitanya asked, "Are you Ramananda Rai?" Ramananda Rai said, "I am a very low servant of your servants. I belong to the Shudra community." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. This is very significant. He's very wealthy, most learned, ecstatic, pure devotee of the Lord. He's descended from Goloka Vrindavan. He's riding on a palanquin. He has musicians and Brahmins all at his disposal, chanting for him only. That was the role he had to play. There was no false ego in that. That's just part of what being a governor meant in those days. And he was this pious and religious man. But in his heart of hearts, he introduced himself. He didn't tell Lord Chaitanya how many verses he knew. He didn't tell Lord Chaitanya all about the unlimited information of Krishna he had. He didn't tell Lord Chaitanya about his riches or his treasures, about all the things that he accomplished in life. He said to Lord Chaitanya that "I am your very low servant and I belong to the Shudra community." That was his greatness. If you boast, you repel the Lord. If you're humble, you attract the Lord. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And when he embraced him, Lord Chaitanya was feeling so much ecstasy embracing such a devotee that tears were pouring from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling, his voice was choked up. He was perspiring profusely, and all the same symptoms were manifested on Ramananda Rai's body. And it came to such a culmination of ecstasy as they embraced that they both fell to the ground. They fainted. And then when they came back to consciousness, these symptoms of ecstasy were just out of control. And these smarta Brahmins, they were bewildered. They were asking, "What is this sannyasi feeling? Why is he crying? Embracing a Shudra?" That's what they were thinking. And others were thinking, "Ramananda Rai is such a Maha Pandit and such a prestigious government official. He's an aristocrat. Why is he crying, embracing a sannyasi?" So when Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai understood that they could not comprehend properly, they somehow or other restrained their ecstatic love for each other. And Srila Prabhupada explains this is a very important principle, that one should never show one's ecstatic symptoms of love of God in the face of someone who cannot fully comprehend it. Some people, it's a cheap show. They practice manifesting symptoms. They actually force themselves to cry. But those types of tears are not tears of love. In fact, our acharyas say those tears wash away the conclusions of the Vedas. Tears should never be for show. Nothing should ever be for show. Everything should be sincere for the service of the Lord. Actors and actresses can cry. In fact, I have seen ladies, if they want to get their way, they just, I don't know what, some mystic power, they just have some little button they press and tears flow. Men usually can't do that. I guess men just don't have that button. Some little subtle in the mind, the mind just goes, and then. So it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that they're manifesting symptoms of Mahabhav. It means they just know how to cry, that's all. So sometimes when people chant the holy names, they try to cry. You're not supposed to try to cry. Do not try to cry. Or spiritually, you may die. And Krishna will say goodbye. And Maya will say hi.
Therefore, remain dry.
So it's better to remain dry. This is not a lie.
Don't ask why.
Chandramali Swami says, do not ask why. Explains that even when these symptoms come, we actually, the price of Krishna consciousness is the tears we shed in separation from Krishna. But they have to be from the heart, not just from the eyes. They have to be from the heart. They may manifest out of the eyes, but they must be from the heart. And we should restrain from letting others see them. Those tears are reserved for Krishna. If other people watch them and get impressed by them, then it has no real spiritual meaning. A chaste woman does not reveal herself to anyone except her husband. So similarly, our ecstasies should be very privately for Krishna within our heart, not for cheap adoration. So Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya, somehow or other, they controlled themselves. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Rai, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he told me with great, great enthusiasm that I must meet you when I come to South India. And now I can understand that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, out of his mercy for me, he has given me your association.